Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation Taipei. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. Please check our site at everynationtaipei.com. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. Oh, thanks. Thanks. I didn't even say anything yet except good morning. Okay, well, before I start, I'm going to take a selfie because Kevin did that a couple weeks ago, and I'm just going to copy him, but I'm going to hang on, okay? I forgot to bring my, like, wide lens thing. So can you guys kind of, you know, get a little closer? Or not move at all. It's okay. All right, let's try this angle. Okay, my face is like half in it. It's okay, I'll have one eyeball in it. One, let me do it here. Okay, let me try from this angle. Wait, hold on. Do you like a funny face or something? You guys can move around, peace signs, whatever. Okay, awesome. All right, hang on. I'm gonna just put a filter on it. Oh wait, hold on. I didn't really get the good shot. Can you guys look happy or something? Like, all right, okay. Let me get that. Do you guys care if I post this? Nothing against this? Okay. Hang on, I'm gonna use Instagram filter. This doesn't look right. Hold on, this might take a few minutes. What filter do you guys like? It doesn't matter, I'm gonna do it. I don't know, there's so many pictures I just took, I don't know which one to put. All right, there's like this filter. Okay. I don't know. This might take a while. Okay, anyway. All right, done. Don't do it now. Don't go and look at it now. All right, so was that frustrating for any of you to wait for me to take a picture or to get the right filter? I actually had like 5 filters that I was trying to choose from and didn't know where to post it, and I probably could have gotten a better angle, but that's okay. Anyway, I have this title for today's sermon that's called The Pinterest Perfect Soul. And I don't know if you have any ideas of what that may look like, or if any of you are like me, whether you're trying to get like the perfect shot or like this Insta-worthy picture or whatever it may look like, but that's like a real struggle for me. And like, I was sort of just faking that, but in real life, sometimes I take like a really long time to get the right shot or like use the right filter or, you know, like try to make it presentable or like worthy of being posted, you know, and that's kind of the culture we live in, right? Like, it may not be true for all of you, or maybe some of you won't admit to it, but I'm admitting it to you. Like, sometimes, like, get a little carried away, especially on my Insta story. So I've stopped for a little while because I needed a little step back from that. But I wonder if any of you would consider even confess to having a Pinterest perfect soul. And you can see that there's some cracks in that P over there on purpose. But consider what this may look like, a Pinterest perfect soul. It could be trying to live up to expectations of others, unrealistic expectations of ourselves or of other people, and even trying to live up to what you may believe God expects of you, but you always fall short, you don't feel good enough. So I'm gonna talk about perfectionism today, but I wanna pray for us first as we go into this message today. Father God, I thank you for who you are, Lord, and I thank you so much for just having our hearts open before you. I pray that you would guide me and speak through me today, God, and help me to lean into you, God, and yield to what you want to say to us today through your word, through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this time. Give it up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm just going to admittedly confess to you that I'm like struggling right now because I really like want to just go by my notes and like make it a perfect sermon in my own definition. But I feel like I'm going to go off my notes a little bit. And so if anything goes south or wrong, you can blame the Holy Spirit. No, I'm just kidding. We'll just see how it goes, okay? But I'm just letting you know that because I'm a little nervous about it. So in the Bible, it talks about soul almost 900 times. And a lot of it is from the Old Testament in Psalms, as you can recall some of the songs of like, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all these psalms that talk about our soul or encouraging our own soul. And one of the scriptures I like actually from the New Testament is from 3 John 1:2. And it says, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. And so actually, as I've been just preparing and praying for this sermon series, I felt like the Lord was actually bringing me through this own kind of, my own kind of journey of what soul care means and what exactly is our soul. And I want to just take a moment to show the difference between soul care and self-care, because self-care is pretty well known in our culture, in our world today. And Brandon did such a great job in sharing soul care and what he's learned. But just to show a picture of what self-care versus soul care is that, and you're free to disagree with me, self-care may be the practice of taking action to preserve or improve your own health. And let me just clarify, self-care things are not necessarily bad or wrong. You know, like who likes to treat themselves to a meal, go to a massage, get your nails done, I don't know, get your hair did. Sorry, that's mostly women. What do you guys like to do? I don't know. What do you guys like to do? Oh, pump it up in the gym? Is that? Yeah, sure. well, you can think of it. You know, those things aren't bad or wrong. So I want to be clear on that. But more often than not, it may come down to your attitude of like, what do I need? Or maybe even kind of like idolizing your own needs or your focus is on yourself, right? But soul care, you know, seeks to know God better through his word, through his world, and really just accept your own limitations humbly, right? So I want to share with you this one quote from this book that I'm reading called Soul Keeping. It's by John Ortberg, and it says, our world has replaced the word soul with the word self, and they are not the same thing. The more we focus on ourselves, the more we neglect our souls. Focus on this, on my soul means to look at my life under the care and connection of God, and to focus on myself apart from God means losing awareness of what matters most. Okay, do you have that chart up? I think it's the next slide. Oh. That's unfortunate. So maybe that's what our souls look like right now. No, I don't know. So on the left side, it's self, and the focus is on me, whereas the soul, the focus is on God, our source. And the purpose of self-care may be to disconnect or recharge, go on a retreat. I do that a lot. Reset, right? It's not a bad thing. But the purpose of soul care is actually to connect to God, not disconnect from anything really, but to connect and include God and all that's good and beautiful, right? And then the result maybe for self-care is maybe quick, it could be temporary. Usually the result is something external, right? Got a nice meal, got my face did, got my hair did, whatever it is, right? And the result for soul care is very intentional and purposeful, and it can have multi-dimensional internal change. So, like I said, I've been on my own journey, and I feel like the Lord's been pointing out a number of things in my own life, and one of them being perfectionism, but that's not the only reason why I want to share that with you today. I do want to just define what perfectionism is. And I don't know how any of you are feeling right now that may have a tendency to that, but I want to just encourage you to be open to this. And even if you're like, oh, this isn't me, just just open, be open to what God may want to be speaking to you today. So perfectionism really is regarding anything short of perfect as unacceptable, which is kind of a strange definition because, like, who decides what's perfect, right? Like, we all have different definitions of what the standard of perfect is, right? And so there's these three types of perfectionism that I've come to kind of look at. And the first one is a self-oriented perfectionism, and it basically has, like, you have unrealistically high expectations of yourself, and you can have deep feelings of inadequacy, even guilt, sometimes to the point that you don't do anything and just kind of procrastinate, and I'm guilty of that, and you battle these feelings, right? Then there's another type of perfectionism called externally oriented perfectionism, where what you believe of, it's what you believe others expect of you. So you may expect to be, they may expect you to be perfect, or with those standards, you can often use like self-deprecating humor, and you may feel alone, and you have these feelings of not feeling good enough. So that's the second one. And then the third one is a others-oriented type of perfectionism, where you impose your expectations onto others. And you expect others to live up to your impossible standards. And actually, you can actually have this lack of empathy towards them. And you may put others down using some kind of humor that could be abrasive and maybe even demeaning at times towards those who don't meet your standards. Like, that may sound kind of extreme, but I'm just saying, like, that's kind of a clear-cut example. So I kind of can have tendencies for any of these, actually. But this isn't to label me or to label any one of you at all, but just to kind of help identify, like, there's these different kinds of perfectionism that looks differently for everybody. And, you know, the spiritual side of perfectionism is kind of, it can also it often cover up like some of our deepest insecurities and our fears and our sin. So if you remember in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, right, Adam and Eve, went after they sinned, they covered up themselves with fig leaves and they were ashamed because they knew that they had disobeyed God. And Satan actually was the first one to kind of say, okay, God isn't enough. You have to do this on your own. He made them question, you know, did God really say this? And Adam and Eve just decided to, you know, take control and just do it on their own and say that, okay, yeah, God didn't say that. We can do things on our own. And so, you know, like, really, I think I had shared this when I preached a few months ago. And just yesterday, I came back from Taizong, where there was a workshop called a Single Life Workshop. And in March, I had shared my testimony while I was preaching about, let me share first. The workshop is geared for all singles, right? And you're in this small group setting, and it's a very vulnerable atmosphere, and we talk about issues of shame, we talk about what it means to embrace our sexuality, and a number of different issues that ultimately help prepare us for marriage, or even just even more intimacy with God and connection with people relationally as friends, or even your relationship with parents and obviously with your future spouse. So that's just like a very simple definition of it. But after I went to that workshop last August, and when I shared in March, I had shared about just my struggle with lust and masturbation and even same-sex attraction. And when I had shared that with all of you here, it was actually kind of one of the hardest things. It was harder than actually sharing it at the workshop, because that image of being a perfectionist, or just performing as a Christian or as a leader of this church or as a missionary, I felt like it was like that pee, that crack, you know, like there was a stain or this crack in whatever image that I projected. And so I was like, oh, you know, my expectations of myself, or what could other people be thinking of me? What does God think of me in this? Like, it all just kind of meshed together. But you know what? Like, after in sharing that at the church, it was actually part of this journey that the Lord's been on with me. And being able to share that today with you, again, is just like, okay, you know, I'm not a perfect person. And at times, I have to remind myself, like, none of us are perfect. We need the grace of God. And that's really the cure, if you will, for perfectionism or any performance-based mentality. Because, you know, when we think about grace, if there's anything that, if we think we have to earn it, then it's not grace at all, right? We don't receive it. We have to work towards it. And so this past week, a few days ago, I was able to share this testimony again at the workshop in Taizong. And it was in front of a lot of leaders, and they're all Christians, obviously. And I could just sense that perfectionist tendency and even the shame again of this testimony coming out, you know, and I'm like, people are going to reject me. Like, this is too much, you know, like, I don't want to do this because it puts my, it actually puts the focus on me, you know, not on God. And when it comes to our stories and our testimonies, I just want to say, you know, it's never about us. We actually allow God to show how loving he is and how good he is to us whenever we share our stories and our testimonies, whatever it may be. And so that was like a huge thing that the Lord was showing me even just a couple days ago, right? Of like, man, this perfectionist, this performance thing is still driving a lot of me, how I lead or how I serve and how I see myself, you know, not just, you know, preaching here or leading in this church, but just as his kid, as a daughter. And so I wanted to share that with you because I don't know where any of you are at today, but I want to share that there is hope, and it's found in just receiving God's love for you, God's grace for you. And I believe for us specifically today, like, we know God's grace, you know, as a believer. We know that it's more than enough, that it's a free gift, right? But it's another thing to actually receive it and respond in our heart and let that flow in our everyday lives, in our connection, our relationships with one another, and in our response to God. So I believe that this healing, I guess, of perfection of it comes in the everyday of believing and living and realizing that this relationship with the Father is one of grace. And in John, it says, it talks about abiding with him, right? That God is the vine, that we're the branches, and that we can't do anything apart from him. And so what does that mean to you today? Like, if we are confessing that we are Bible-believing believers and love God, love people, we're making disciples, and we are sharing the gospel with people, whatever it may look like in your life, what does it mean to just walk in step with God and to abide in him and to be a receiver of his grace and responding to his grace each and every day? And I think that requires time. You know, it's a process of healing, of understanding, even this reprogramming or rewiring of the mind that begins this transformation. And so I think what's key for us really is, yeah, we get it in our heads, right? We know grace, we know love, but what does it mean to actually live it out from our hearts and to respond in that way? And maybe some of this relearning takes place in relationship with friends, and that can be difficult at times, or, you know, roommates or parents and coworkers. And so it's in our everyday. John Ortberg also says in his book, the most important thing in your life is not what you do, it's who you become. That's what you will take into eternity. You are an unceasing spiritual being with eternal destiny in God's great universe. So that may be simple, right? How many know it's not about what we do? Right? Do y'all know that it's not about what we do? It's okay. You don't have to raise your hand. But it's about who we become, who we are. But if you look at your life, how much of how we live our lives is about what we do? Like, where is your value? Is it in being this amazing, you know, teacher or this awesome singer or how awesome of a mother or a parent or a friend you are, you know, like your, where does, how do you look at yourself? Is it actually, where is your value, right? Because that, all that stuff doesn't go with you to heaven, right? It's about who you become and your identity in him. And so emphasizing who we are, not what we do, and who we're becoming has nothing to do with what we're doing in our, in and of ourselves, but allowing God to do the work in us and through us. Isaiah 30, 15 from the Message, it says, "Your salvation requires you to turn back to me and stop your silly efforts to save yourselves. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you've been unwilling to do." It may take, I don't know if it's hard for some of you to come to a realization that we really need God beyond, like, not just at the point where we decide to say yes to Jesus, right, at the point of salvation, but in the everyday of, gosh, God, I am in need of you. I'm, like, desperate for more of you. Like, I can't do this on my own. And I believe that's really what abiding even looks like. You know, he says, apart from me, you can't do anything. Do we believe that? Like, apart from Jesus, you actually can't do anything. And so I think perfectionism, it produces this distorted picture of God. You know, it has these feelings of doubt and rebellion and anger against a God that we can never please, or we think that is always, like, putting these standards on us or being mad at us or saying all these lies that it's not from God, but it's from us. And so it may specialize if you ever think, like, oh, if only blank, then I would be okay. Or if only I could blank, then my life would be this way. Or I could be satisfied if blank. Whatever you fill that in, I would say that that's actually an idol, because anything that is not filled by Jesus in that blank, by God, it's an idol. And so I want to ask, you know, how do you respond in those situations where you may ask yourself, I can only be satisfied if blank, and then that doesn't happen. You're not able to attain it. Like, what is your response to that? So God says in his word, my grace is sufficient for you. And my grace is, it's actually God himself. You know, it's not this commodity. It's him coming to you in his graciousness, in his love. Right here and right now, not when we shape up, when we get it all together. And if you remember your point of coming to know Jesus, if you've already come to know him, there was probably a very true and pure and deep confession of needing him. But what is it like now in your everyday, I wonder? So grace is God's love in action. It's actually giving rest, right, for our souls. So I wonder, when we look at our weaknesses and our imperfections, like how we see them. We may talk about it a lot, or we may think it to ourselves, but how do you see your weaknesses? How do you see our imperfections? And I wonder if we saw our imperfections or our shortcomings as a way that God would actually use them to, for our good and for his glory, how that would change the way that we look at them. So imagine, you know, for those of you who are parents, or for anyone, I guess, who've been playing with kids, right? Like, when you see a little child or a toddler learning how to walk, right? Has everybody pictured that before, or has seen their own kid do that, right? It is sometimes really hard to watch, I think. I'm not a parent yet, so I wouldn't know. But most of the time, and all the times that I've seen a child learning to walk, the parent is encouraging, right? The parent is encouraging them and cheering them on. It's like, you can do it, you can do it. Even though the kid is, like, fumbling around, they may fall down, they may look for help, and, you know, just being a mess, you know, while trying to learn this walk. But never have I seen a parent being like, come on, you know, like, how come you can't, like, get up and just walk over here? Like, they never are scolding that child, right, of not walking perfectly. They're not saying, come on, you can do better than that, like you're so stupid, or how come you just can't put one foot in the other, because they know that child is learning, right? They know that child is doesn't have the skills yet and is not perfect as a walker or whatever you want to call it. And so I feel like that's really a picture of our Father in heaven. You know, when we're living our life and we're walking and we're admitting to our imperfections and our weaknesses, you know, he's just like bending over and he's just saying, come on, you know, like you've got this. You know, my grace is so sufficient for you and I love you so much. It doesn't even matter. You know, yeah, it's okay if you fall. Just get back up. You know, just come. So I talk about perfectionism today, but I would couple it with performance. Perfectionism is about what I do. It's about me. It says if I obey God, then God will love me. It's about winning God's approval, right? But grace, it's all about what Jesus has done already. It's about Jesus, and it says because God loves me, I can obey. And it's living from God's approval and instead of trying to win God's approval. Now, I know it's not so black and white as this, but I know that seeing this chart can trigger a lot for me, you know, of like, okay, well, how much do I believe this? How much am I receiving God's grace? Am I like, really? Is it about me? Do I make things about what I do? Do I believe that I need to win God's approval, or God will only love me if I do this? Or am I really rooted and am I really receiving and responding to God's grace, that it is all about Jesus? It's all about what he's already done for us, and that I live from his approval, from what he says about me. And because he loves me, I can follow him, that I can obey. See, you're a soul, right? We all have a soul, that you're made by God, you're made for God, and you're made to need God. And so that means you're not made to be self-sufficient, to do things just on our own. And so I would just want to encourage us, right, to think of, or just reflect on, very basic things that some of you probably already know, but to remember who you are. And I don't just mean that like identity-wise, but remember who you are as a child of God, that you actually aren't God and you can't be God. Only he has that position, that power, and that he gives us these souls so that we can actually be intertwined and abiding in him. And so it may seem like, okay, it's a lot to admit that I'm not God, but it frees you to accept your weaknesses and then receive God's unending strength. And so remember who you are, but also remember whose you are, that God created you, God the Father created you, that Jesus redeemed you, and that the Holy Spirit is who sustains you and who sanctifies you. Where self-care, right, it talks about taking ownership and control of your physical needs. Soul care is really about entrusting your needs to God, right, like we said, and who created you, who sustains you, and who saves you. When Brandon was sharing earlier about the passage in Matthew 11:28 about resting in God, I think that those verses are so powerful, like even in the message, especially in the message translation, because it's so real. And can you put those up? I think I have them somewhere. But breathing in the truth of who God is, right, and reading his word, that helps us to reorient our thinking, right? And Matthew 11:28-30, it's also receiving an invitation to come to Jesus. And I'm just going to read it again. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me and get away with me, and you'll recover your life. And I'll show you how to take a real rest, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You can go back to the other one. Learn from the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Do you all believe that? Learning the unforced rhythm of grace is pretty much where I'm at right now. to come to him, to have company with the Lord, and to believe that I can live freely and lightly as I rest in him, as my soul rests in him, not in how much better of a person I can be, or what I can do for God, or what other people may think of me, or how I think God believes in, or what I expect of myself, those high standards, those unrealistic standards, but to go and keep company with God and to live in that freedom, in that rest that he gives us. So remembering who we are, remembering whose we are, finding rest in God alone, right? Not in a disconnection from life or from the world, but in connecting with God and truly resting and putting our hope in him. And then I believe really just confessing humbly our struggles or our weakness before him and really responding and receiving his grace. That can be difficult to admit for a perfectionist or someone with a performance mentality. But I hope that as I was sharing like that, it's really about him, about his grace and what he offers and who he is. So soul care, right, is about rest, but it's also about sanctification, this process, this journey, right? And your regular self-care activities, right, they may transform into soul care when there are means of opening your heart to the Holy Spirit. And, right, today is Pentecost Sunday. We know, as Kevin was sharing, that this is when the believers received the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how many of you just ask Holy Spirit to live and come and lead and just have this connection or this partnership with the Holy Spirit. I know that I can do it more. I have head knowledge. I know like the Holy Spirit is real, that the Holy Spirit is what draws my heart to the Lord and is a counselor and a friend and has power in and through my life. But do I actually treat the Holy Spirit as my friend, as a real person, as God? And I believe that the Holy Spirit has power in our lives, really, to help us to receive God more and even more and more in our lives. And so I want to encourage us to have that response to God today, whatever he may be saying to you on your heart, to just have an openness before him and to not be afraid to confront whatever he may be highlighting, to confess to him, because the Holy Spirit allows us to have this communion with God, and he'll highlight things to you. So confessing your sins to God and responding to his grace. As we rest in him, as we know who we are and whose we are, right? In the Bible, there is a verse that says, be perfect as your Father is perfect. I don't have it up there, but a lot of people may take this out of context and say, you know, like God says in his word, he says, be perfect as I'm perfect. But in the context of the verse, it's really talking about being perfected, being completed in Christ and in his love for each and every one of us, so that we're able to love others. And, you know, we're called to find completion in Christ rather than striving or having this unattainable sense of perfection. And so it would be really ironic, right, if Jesus, in I think it was part of the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, you know, you can realize God's perfection, but you have to work for it in our own human effort. You know, that would be nonsense to hear that from Jesus at the time. But it's really about receiving, right, and responding. So the pressure is off I just want to tell you, whether you identify as a perfectionist or someone with a performance mentality, the pressure is off of you to perform, to have to be a certain person or a certain way, to be perfect or to be in control. Like, take the pressure off of you even now, because it's not just this head understanding, right, but a heart understanding of the grace of God. And so we can choose to be perfected in God's perfect love as we choose him, as we choose his perfect love over perfection, over performance, trying to prove or impress. And I want to just ask you, as I'm closing up, to ask yourselves, you know, is there anything that you may be trying to cover up? You know, is there any inadequacy or fear of failure, not being good enough? Yeah, could you all just close your eyes for a minute? And I just want to have us reflect on a few things. If there's any of you that may feel like you felt this pressure to perform, this pressure to be perfect, even to be in control, I want you to just hear me when I say the pressure is off. And if there's anything that you may feel that you've been trying to cover up, or even feel like you have to wear this mask of, oh, I'm perfect, like nothing gets in my way, you know, your life and who you are, it's not about convincing how good you are, but really how good God is. And so would you have your heart open to ask God if there's any area in your life where you just need him, and to just say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. A couple months ago, Lita and I went scuba diving, and I was so afraid of going down in that deep water, but more so was my fear because I had to depend on the oxygen tank, you know, this regulator thing that I was like, I don't know if this thing will even do what it's supposed to do, right? But I wanted to conquer that fear, and I remember when I went down into the water that I was like, oh, my fear actually isn't about being underwater, but it's because of how I need to depend on this oxygen tank and not sure whether or not that's going to function properly. And I feel like that's kind of in a strange way, like when we depend on God, he's not going to malfunction. You know, he's not this oxygen tank. He's our very source. He's our very life. And he's someone we depend on, that we can depend on and rely on. And he says that in our weakness, his power comes through in our weakness, so that even when we are weak, we are made strong in him. And that's his grace for us. So if any of you may have this struggle or can identify with anything that I've shared today, I want you to just pray this with me. You can say it out loud. You can say it in your heart. Father, I'm not perfect. And I can never be perfect. I need a Savior. I need a perfect Savior. Today I'm adopted by and positioned in Christ. And when you see me, you see your Son Jesus in me. I just confess to any perfectionism or performance. And just break any and all agreement with them right now. I just repent of perfectionism. I repent of performance. And I just ask you right now, God, what is it that you would want to give me in replace of those things? And just wait. Just wait. I ask the Holy Spirit that you would just speak to my brothers and sisters, that you would have their hearts open to receive what you want to give them. Thank you, God, that we don't have to cover up before you, Lord. Thank you that you see our hearts. God, even as we may acknowledge our imperfections and our weaknesses of even trying to do life on our own, God, that even now we would just give you control, that we would surrender to you and your ways, God. Thank you, God, that you are more than enough. Thank you, God, that your grace is more than enough. It is sufficient. We cannot outrun your love. We cannot outgrow your grace. You continue to just come. And we just say we receive. We receive from you today, God, and we respond to you. We thank you, God. We thank you, God.